We'll call the meeting to order. It's a regular Borough Assembly meeting of November 6th, 2017. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Jeff?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Here.
Kurt?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Brandy?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a full assembly this evening. It's time for the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is item three, and that's assembly appointment of the vice mayor and representative liaison positions. It was brought to our attention that by code or by charter, that it was, and it's always been this way, there was a vote of the assembly, but in the past, we've just, the mayor's appointed with approval, but this assembly would like to, anybody on the assembly would like to put their hand up if they want to be vice mayor. We could do a closed ballot if there's more than one, or how does the assembly want to proceed with this?
I'll put my name in for that, Mr. Mayor.
Sure, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else? Okay, we have two candidates that would like to be vice mayor. We have Member Mucci and Member Stan Greger. So if the clerk will get us some ballots, we'll do a closed ballot for this and go from there. And while we're on this topic, does the assembly wish to vote on all the other positions, or will that be appointment of by the mayor with the approval of the assembly, or how you want to proceed with that? No comment.
Sorry, guys, I forgot scrap paper.
And then we'll hand these down to the end. The clerk will tally the votes. I guess we could have used the very little motion thing.
There you go, Nancy.
And the clerk will read the results.
Thank you. One for Jay. Two for Jay. One for Jeff. Two for Jeff. Three for Jeff.
Three for Jeff or Jay?
Jeff. Three for Jay. Deciding vote right here.
It's a tiebreaker.
There we go.
Four for Jay.
Okay, by a closed ballot vote, the assembly has elected Jay Stanton Greger as the vice mayor until November of 2018. Every year we go through the same process. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next is representative to the Alaska Municipal League. In the past, the mayor was the representative. If someone else would like to do it, put your hand up. Okay, I guess that will be the mayor again. Representative to Southeast Conference. In the past, that was also the mayor. Anyone else want to have that position? Okay, nobody's just over-enthused about this. I can't imagine why. Liaison to the Harbor Board. I believe that was Mr. Walhooter in the past. Is everybody okay with Mr. Walhooter continuing in that position?
I'll continue in that position for the time being.
If you're willing.
I'm willing, okay. Yes.
Liaison to the hospital board, and I'm not sure who.
That was me.
That was you?
Yeah,
you
was fulfilling that, and I'm willing to do it again unless anyone else has specific interest, or if another member of the assembly would care to join me as also a liaison to the hospital board, that'd be great too.
Anybody else want to join in? It's you,
well,
Jay.
A person could go whether they were a liaison or not.
Correct, yes, whenever there's a meeting, yeah. Liaison to the public safety board. Was that you, Nancy?
I believe so.
Would you continue to, would you like to continue in that role?
Yeah, we've had so many meetings.
Any opposition?
I need my recreational meetings.
Perfect. Okay, Nancy will be the, Member Strand will be the liaison to the Public Safety Board. Liaison to the Land Selection Committee. I can't recall who that was. Was that you, Kurt?
It was
Bob.
It was Bob.
Oh, it was Bob. Okay, that's right. It was. Anybody interested in that? We're going to probably be having some more meetings on that, what to do with the land, I suppose, when after the governor signs the lands bill here 10 days or whatever it is, a week or whatever.
What's the obligation for that? What's how often do they meet? Is it as needed basis?
I would ask Debbie or the manager.
It's as needed, but it's likely to kind of spool up a little bit when the governor signs the bill, then the borough will have access to that additional land. The Land Selection Committee will then go through the process of identifying what parcels to bring in front of the assembly to say, we'd like to select these. So they have not met for a while. My guess is that'll change, and they'll be meeting a little more frequently once the governor signs the bill.
Do they meet telephonically? Or
I don't see why they couldn't. Up to this point, it's been, you know, in person.
Okay.
Mr. Castro, you've probably walked most of that land.
Anybody interested in being the liaison to the Land Selection Committee from the Assembly?
I'd be interested in it.
Okay. Member Castro has expressed interest. Any, I see no opposition. So we have those filled. We have one more, elected official to the Local Emergency Planning Committee. Anybody on the Assembly like to be that elected official?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Mucci, anybody opposing that? Okay. Mr. Mucci will be the elected official to the Local Emergency Planning Committee. So we have that behind us. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's item four, Petersburg Police Department Christmas Card Contest winners. And good job, everybody, for participating. Are we, Officer Pop, are we going to? Sure. Could you please?
Hello. So I think in September, Chief came up to me and said, hey, we've done this, or the Wasilla have done it in the past, where we did a Christmas card contest, have someone draw a Christmas card, and we sent it out to all the agencies, police agencies throughout Alaska. I thought it was a great idea, so I went through, tried to get some donations, which I did. I went to Papa Bear's, Hammer and Weecon, and Kinder Comfort, and they more than willing gave us the donations for the prizes for this contest. So I want to give them a big shout out and thank you for helping support this. So we did it a little early, like Christmas and Halloween, because we wanted to be able to get the card and then send it out in time. So they all, October, they were all drawing the Christmas cards. We had about 46 entries, I want to say. We had on, I think last Saturday, we had Carolyn Hurt come in, Jay Santengreger, and Terry Tolan, the principal, come in and judge all these entries. So they pick the winners. So and then we have the three top winners here. So I guess we'll go with the third place. If you want to come up, Keely or Keely Tetral, did I say that right? Come on up here and get your prize.
Third place drawing right there.
That's what you gave.
Very nice.
Nice job,
can we see?
Can you walk up here so the rest of the assembly can see that, please? That's nice. Good job.
Great job, Keely.
Awesome. Very nice.
Wesley Durst.
Hey, Wesley. You guys should.
Can you show us all, Wesley?
Yeah, go on there, Wesley.
Very good.
That's a good one. That's fun.
And the first place is Serena Helms.
Yay. That's great. And can you show us what's on the inside? Tell us what's on the inside.
Hope you don't get caught.
Hope you don't get caught.
Very thoughtful.
Good job, Serena.
Very thoughtful.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Officer Pop.
And we're going to display all the drawings in the lobby through the holiday season. So
oh, nice.
They all can be seen.
Wonderful.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. And we need a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting on October 16th, 2017, unless there's changes to them. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I move to Approve the October 16th regular minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
No changes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay, it's been approved. The minutes have been approved unanimously. Next item on the agenda, amendment and approval of tonight's meeting agenda. Is there any amendments to the tonight's agenda by anyone, or do I need a motion for approval as it is?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add one thing to the assembly discussion item, and that's under item I, and that would be a quick little overview of where your tax dollars go and where our revenue comes from. Two little handout pages to that we'll discuss, you know, this winter to try to bring everybody up to speed as to how their money's being spent. So,
is that the pie chart?
Yes.
That Jody's? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'll just want to bring it up and just mention it during that time. So.
Sounds good. Debbie, could you remind us when we get there?
That yes, I will.
Aye item. I wrote it down, but we'll see if I remember.
Okay.
Okay. Then we need a motion to approve the meeting agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of proceeding with that agenda as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Unanimous approval. Public hearings. We have a public hearing again on ordinance 2017-14, and that's an ordinance providing for chapter 3.08 of the municipal code entitled Assembly and Mayor, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. We made a couple of changes last meeting, and there's one change that we need to make a motion on, or to adopt or not to add it into this ordinance. So is there anyone in the audience that would like to participate in this public hearing? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed on ordinance 2017-14. And that moves us to bid awards. And we have a bid award for janitorial services. I would entertain a motion to approve that recommendation.
So move.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Wallhuter, seconded by Member Strand, to award the bid for janitorial services to Norsk Enterprises, LLC, for an annual amount of $47,760. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that bid award passes unanimously. There was one other bid, I believe, and I don't know what the number was, but this was apparently the lowest bidder.
Definitely it was the lowest bidder.
So we'll move forward, and the next item is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there any visitors? Mr. Murgis and then Becky. John, would you please step up to the mic?
Mayor and assembly members, thank you for allowing me to speak. This is kind of impromptu. I decided to come here only a couple hours ago when I hauled the last vote. The last time I was at this podium was July 17, when you were deciding to place Galve project funding on the ballot for voter approval. I asked this assembly to give consideration to a rock ramp along the existing spit at a cost of $20,000. That's a Reed Brothers construction estimate, ranging up to $60,000, which was a PND engineer's estimate. It could be a temporary ramp that could later be used as fill, or a permanent ramp in lieu of the proposed new ramp by PND. It could save millions in the overall project cost. Not one of you or the borough manager or anyone from PEDC responded. Total silence. I see your agenda for this meeting includes a budget revision allowing the Scabe project to move forward. So I assume this project is transitioning from a sole PEDC project to a Petersburg borough project. It's like an avalanche that's gaining speed with no room for dissent, concerns, or even suggestions. There's an ad in the paper urging voters to approve the project. That I got it here. And it says, does not impact the general fund. I think that's what most people interpret is, the average person who reads that interprets the wording as free money, such as grant money from the state or federal agencies, like we have become so accustomed to for the past decades. The money you are deciding on today is our savings account that belongs to everyone in Petersburg. You have a responsibility to spend it carefully and wisely. If someone has a suggestion on how to spend it, at least consider the merits of that suggestion and be responsive. Today, for me, was another wind-challenging day. Nancy, I saw you out at the turnaround path, but you left a little bit too early today. Just as the $300,000 40-foot vessel that I was hauling was making his approach for landing, winds picked up, and he made two missed approaches before we got him on the third. I wanted to cancel out, but the vessel owner said he had no choice but to get out of the water. 100 feet away is the protected water next to the spit. I apologize for being frustrated and angry for not being able to easily and safely land a boat there. It's like someone up in the sky or maybe on the ground is teasing me, saying, let's make life difficult for John and his customers. So again, I am imploring, even begging you to consider placing a rock ramp along the present spit. My primary concern is safety of my personnel and equipment, and most importantly, safety of the vessels I haul on a daily basis. I am not privy to the undisclosed management and development plan of the Scow Bay project, but I have the feeling you'd like me to go away with this request. I have a feeling if this simple ramp were successful, which I know it would be, that the borough or PEDC may feel it could jeopardize the preferred $7 million project estimate. I don't want to get caught up in politics. All I want is the safety the existing spit with a ramp would give me to carry on business. It's so low cost, it would be a two-day job for either Reeds or Rock and Road. It would be public use for anyone to use, including any other boat haulers. It would have to exclude recreational jet skiffs, but they prefer to use the original ramp anyway. The erosion from a jet skiff being loaded on and off a trailer can rapidly erode out a rock ramp. If you really wanted to help out local business and the commercial fleet, here's your opportunity. What a great public-private partnership project this could be. If you insist I pay for it, that's fine, but don't make it painfully loaded with red tape to make it unaffordable. Please go out there at low tide, see for yourself the simplicity and logic of a ramp at this location. Ask Boston Reed or Sig Burrell to accompany you and give you their professional advice. I could go on and on with technical details comparing the two locations for the possible ramp and how the low-cost ramp scores much higher points. You don't have to give up your aspirations for the high-priced ramp and associated pad. Simply put it in later, at a later time, as is needed. That's it. Can anyone here who has authority tell me how to proceed? How can we get a ramp there? This is, you've heard this from me before. This is a request. It's very numerous times I've been up trying to get this, but everybody kind of shrugs their shoulders, and nobody, I don't know who to go to next.
I would imagine maybe the manager can answer it, but my first thought would be if you're going to build something privately on public land, you'd have to get permission from some authority, and I don't know, John. That's not my personal decision to make. But Steve, could you answer the question, John? John, could you let the manager? Could you let the manager respond, please? Can you let the manager respond? Who would be the what would be the appropriate protocol?
Just to kind of speak, number one, the budget amendment here is to move the $500,000 based on the voters' vote to set it aside in the event we get a grant that requires a match. So actually, it's not saying anybody can move forward. It was just a way to have that money on hand when some of these grants come up pretty quickly. So, again, no plans have been approved. No construction has been offered up. So I just want to make sure that's clear. Second piece is this is probably something John should take up with PEDC or PEDC come and talk to the assembly and talk through the project and what the next steps are. So I think this ramp idea has been talked about in various groups with PEDC as far as a couple of open meetings. I think it would be fair to have them come in and address the assembly and talk through that and answer questions for you. And so that would be the next step, John, is to talk to PEDC or the assembly could ask them to come in and report.
Okay, so Mr. Burgess, I'd have one question. Have you written a letter to PEDC or any, yes. Emailed them and yes. Asking for this, and you've had
yes.
No reason? Okay. All right. Member Walhooter.
Yeah. I was going to say, John, I was at that one meeting when we were discussing with Dick Somerville, you know, some of the options, and I was 100% behind what you've got in your up your sleeve right now. So, and I can sense your frustration, and I sympathize with you for sure. So I would check with Liz, see what they could get going with you. And like I say, if that's something that you guys want to enter into and it's all above board and it's legal, well, you'll certainly get my approval on that. So
I have done all those.
Yeah. Well, I know how the wheels of this works in Petersburg. I mean, nothing happens fast for some reason. It just does not. So, but I certainly can sympathize with you here. So.
So maybe on the manager's suggestion, we should have the head of PEDC come to our next meeting and answer Mr. Murgis's question why we haven't considered this.
We could have the executive director and the board president come in and discuss it, and we'll ask them.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we will, if they can both be present for the November 20th meeting, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to make it. Does that sound reasonable, Steve? Okay. Thank you, John. Becky, you wanted to say something under views related to agenda items? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Becky Knight. I speak for myself tonight. And the item I wanted to speak under was item agenda C, travel to Washington, D.C., to meet with our federal delegates. I noticed this on the agenda and listed as discussion items were, I don't know, 8 or 9 discussion items, but absent from that list is any position that might be conveyed to the delegation or other agency officials. And what I would like to see is a full vetting of any position that might be taken on those issues. And the reason I'm saying is, or I'm asking for that, is that some of these issues might be controversial. Others may not appear controversial at all. The very first one, secure rural schools and PILT, which is payment in lieu of taxes for those that aren't aware, could be controversial. Because this may be my only opportunity to say anything, I don't know if permission will be granted for this travel or not, but regarding those two issues, a June 20th Forest Service Washington office activity review examined 2 large timber sales on the Tongass, the first one being the Big Thorn and the other being Tonka right across from us. Staggering monetary losses in each, quote, close to $2 million in one sale and more than double the original stumpage, according to a post-harvest monitoring report. In the other sale, Forest Service maladministration led to a reduction in sale value exceeding $1,700,000. Under the Secure Rules program, a portion of all Tongass timber sale proceeds go to local communities and schools. Depressed sale values, therefore, cost both the U.S. taxpayers and Alaska school kids. So what I would, if there was a position taken on these issues, I would encourage whoever goes back there, you, Mark, or whoever could be that potential person, I would encourage the Inspector General for the U.S. Forest Service, the parent agency, to perform a forensic audit of recent sale proceeds to calculate total losses, as well as recommended steps to ensure that these sales yield the fair market value they are supposed to produce, and thus the payment to the schools, because that's what those payments are based on. And I'll leave it at that. Thank
you. Okay, thank you. Any questions of Becky? No.
I can provide those documents to anybody that's interested, the Washington Office Review and some other documents as well.
Okay. I'll get back on. Next item on the agenda is visitors' view. Is there any other visitors with views related to tonight's agenda?
Yes, Mayor.
Sure, John.
Dave Berg was going to be here to talk on the commercial passenger vessel excise tax. But he's at the play, so he'll try and be here around 7:30. I told him I'd.
Okay, when
a text.
When that's under council,
yes.
Assembly discussions.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for. Okay, seeing no other people in the audience that want to speak to views related to tonight's agenda. The next item on the agenda is visitors' views unrelated to agenda items. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to have something to talk about unrelated to agenda items? Seeing no hands go up, we'll move. There's no board, commission, and committee reports this evening. No items on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. We have a report on the Petersburg Municipal Power and Light Building remodel project update. And I believe that's by Public Works Director Carl Hagerman.
Hello, Mayor and Assembly. Carl Hagerman, Public Works Director. And I'd like to give you an update on where we're at with the project to remodel the headquarters for Power and Light. In general, the project's moving along pretty well. Rainforest Contracting, owned by Jesse West, is the contractor. They've been on site doing lots of work. They've got the demolition upstairs and downstairs pretty much complete. They are, as you can see probably from the outside of the building, that corner is the most important part of the project structurally. They're getting ready to install a cantilever beam that goes out to the corner so they can cut out of that lower section and open up the site a distance at the intersection. So we're making some headway. They've done some sheetrock and some new framing on the downstairs portion. And they've just started doing some excavation in the parking area to do a new retaining wall, and that will dovetail into the improvements, the ADA improvements on the back parking lot. So the project, like I said, is moving ahead pretty well. However, this report is probably going to be more about financial items than it is about the work. In front on the agenda today, you've got two items that deal with this project. One is a change order number one, and one is an inclusion in the supplemental budget for an increase to the contingency on this project. The project was originally designed in 2015, so it's been a couple years. It was put on a shelf after it was designed. And it was designed as a bare bones project, basically an ADA and energy efficiency project. It did change the reception area upstairs and allowed for a new reception area downstairs to address ADA instead of having to put an elevator into the building. Save some costs there. But there wasn't a whole lot of thought about this being the long-term headquarters of the department. There were areas that were left out of the remodel design completely, and we're seeing now that the contractor has done some demo that may not have been the best decision at the time to design those areas to not be touched. And have part of the building is going to be new and fresh, and other parts would definitely not be. And actually, there's some carpet in the office manager's office that is really threadbare right now, and that was not scheduled to be touched at all. So there are various things that, in my opinion, should be included in the project. We've got a contractor on site. Now is the time to do it. We went back and forth with a request for proposal with the contractor on various items to try and narrow it down to the items that we really feel as a department are important to do. And so the list is It's in the memo. It's actually this, the memo that I'm looking at is in your packets in a different area. But the changes in that first change order have to deal with doing work in the superintendent's office and the office manager's office, as well as the existing restroom that's in the upstairs corner that we're not going to be touched at all in the original design. So we're talking about flooring, removing paneling, wood paneling in favor of sheetrock. That will help out with insulation in the walls of those offices as well, and redoing the ceiling. We're also looking at other things in the reception area. There was a narrow wall kind of right in the middle of everything up there, and a couple soffits that looked like beams, and everybody thought they were supporting something, bearing, and it turns out they're not. In fact, one of them has practically fallen off the ceiling after we demoed everything else. So they need to come out, but they weren't in the project. So that's part of this change order is removing those features that we don't need anymore. It'll open up the space quite a bit, and it'll be better workspace for the staff. We are eliminating some things as well. There's a planned shelving unit that we're taking out, and we're reusing the main reception desk, which was going to be a built-in feature that was a cost of the project. So we're using that desk to save some money. We're adding a removable section of railing at the upper landing on the exterior stairs on the back side of the building. We found that when we were unloading that space for the project, we took that railing off, and the power and light staff was able to do a lot of things with a forklift that would have been really, really hard to do if we hadn't done that. So it makes sense to go back with a removal section railing that will allow us to move things in and out of the space as we need to in the future. So a lot of these things are pretty pretty basic. Oh, there is construction of a new small coffee counter in the conference room. I should mention that. That includes some electrical, plumbing, and countertops and cabinets. It's about an 8-foot counter is what that turned out to be. We've got some cabinets going into another common workspace that was right at the top of the stairs that we're changing some cabinets and creating some storage there underneath the new countertop. So all in all, the changes come to a price of $26,590, and that's the change order that's in front of the assembly to rule on today. But that puts me to the next point, which is the budget on this project was equally tight. It was very optimistic that we only had a 3.5% contingency to make it through this project. The building is very old. Any remodel project is, you run into things that you weren't expecting. So I'm also proposing, and you'll see this in the supplemental budget ordinance, that we increase the contingency for this project up to about 15% so that we can actually make some of these changes and improve the project for the long term. This department is going to be in this building for a long time, so it just makes sense to bump up this project and make it a good project for the borough, starting with new finishes on floors and ceilings and not having to worry about replacing them next year after the project is done. So with that, I just to recap the supplemental budget item, we had a $20,000 contingency in that project. The construction cost was $538,600. That was a bid. We had $20,000. I'm proposing to add $60,000 to that so that we're actually at an $80,000 contingency. And I'm pretty confident we'll be able to get through that project without any increases to the budget. There is an additional change order in the works right now, though. The ceiling, the suspended ceiling in the upstairs is, the plan was to salvage the grid, the suspension grid, and reuse it, as well as the panels. I don't think that's going to work out very well. It's possible to take it down, but the suspension system in the first place wasn't done very well. Doubtful that stuff's going to come out straight, and the contractor keep it straight. If we remove the short wall and the soffits that I was talking about, we need to redo the grid in that area anyway. So we're getting a price for new suspended ceiling grid and change some lighting locations in the main area, and also adding lighting to changed lighting to these offices that I just talked about. We kind of separated things out because the process was dragging out too long, and we needed to get some answers back to the contractor on if he hadn't needed to demolish any more structure. And so we kind of separated things out, but there is another change order for the ceiling coming, and I'm imagining it's probably going to be about the same size as the one that's in front of you today, so right around between $20,000 and $30,000 figure. So anyway, that's my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions? Of course, we'll discuss it again when we address the supplemental budget item here. So it'll just be a shorter presentation then, now that we've up to speed. Thanks, Carl. Okay, so next item on the agenda is the mayor's report. Okay, appointments to boards and commissions. The following letters of interest have been received. Richard Burke is interested in the vacant planning commission seat, so without any opposition or by the assembly, we'll appoint Richard Burke to that position. Okay, seeing nobody opposed to that. Cindy Logadakis is interested in one of the vacant hospital board seats, so I'd like to appoint Cindy to the hospital board without any opposition, and I see no hands going up. So thank you, Cindy and Richard, for putting your name in. The Planning Commission recommends to appoint new member Sally Dwyer as its representative to the Historic Preservation Commission with assembly approval. So is that good with the assembly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody's nodding their head. So thank you, Sally. We're seeking letters of interest. The Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling a vacant board or commission seat. Borough residents appointed to the following seats will serve until October 2018 municipal election. There's one hospital board seat, and the Public Safety Advisory Board has three vacant seats. So put your name in if you are interested. In addition, the Historic Preservation Committee has two vacant seats, one for an archaeologist or at-large member with a term ending 12/31/2017, and one for an assembly member representative with a term ending 12/31/2019. So since we're appointing, who's interested in that? I see no one, so that's out there if anybody changes their mind. So anyway, we're looking to fill those spots. And the borough is also accepting letters of interest to serve on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors. The Petersburg Borough will need to appoint one voting member and one alternate to the SEPA board for this count for the calendar year 2018. And we'll accept letters up to when we finalize the agenda for the next meeting. So probably around the 18th or so of November. And letters of interest for any of the above-mentioned board or commission seats may be submitted to the borough clerk via mail to Box 329, Petersburg, 99833, or via email dthompson@petersburgak.gov, or by delivering them to the office at 12 South Nordic Drive.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to say that actually the 18th is a Saturday. I will have the agenda out by the 16th at noon.
Okay.
So letters of interest, I would prefer to have them by the 14th, please.
Without looking at a calendar, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Thank you, Debbie.
You
so
bet.
The 16th is the deadline for letters for the SEPA board appointment.
14th.
The rest?
14th, please.
14th, okay.
Thank you.
Just listen to Debbie. Get the numbers right. Kind of tired. It's been a long day. Okay, Petersburg Municipal Land Selection Bill, Senate Bill 28, signing ceremony. Governor Bill Walker will be traveling to Petersburg to sign Petersburg Municipal Land Selection Bill this month. It's been planned. It is finalized for November 16th at 3:30 p.m. at the Sons of Norway. and there will be a little reception there. And not that you could believe the weatherman, but you look out a week from today, and it looks like pretty nasty weather, so I hope he can make it. So that'll be a big event. And maybe we should send an invitation to all the people on the planning or on the land selection committee.
Yes, sir.
To make sure they get there. One other thing added to the mayor's report, the hospital board is requesting a work session on December 4th at 10 a.m. The assembly meeting begins at noon. Does that work for enough of the assembly? Do we have to have a quorum for something like that?
No, not for a work session.
I don't think so.
Okay. They're just wondering if you guys are willing to have one.
So I'll be in town. Anybody else be able to attend?
I believe I'm going to be out of town then, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be here. But is there any reason it has to be 10 o'clock in the morning?
No, that was just a suggestion of theirs since the assembly meeting was at noon.
Well, for some of us who are working during the day, it makes it difficult for me to take time off work and take leave to come to a meeting. If we wanted to get together and not hurry through a meeting, it might be nicer for me if it was in the evening. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'm a firm believer in evening meetings, but...
I'm with you, Jeff. I could...
Okay, any other comments?
Evening meetings are tough for me.
I know. That's so we've got a...
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. Well, that's a couple meetings away. Let's shall we see if they're flexible?
Sure.
And then we could address it at the November 20th meeting?
Sure.
That still gives us plenty of time to, you know.
I can also send you guys an email.
Okay, sure. All okay. Right, thank you.
And maybe it could be another date, too, because, you know, I mean, I really believe that we need to start having these meetings with them, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that ends the mayor's report. That brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. The public works staff has started work on the pump station 7 force main replacement. The pipe is fused in sections and trenching started on October 30th. They will continue to make all efforts to minimize any impacts to home driveway access during the work. PIA has agreed to help the borough out with sidewalk snow removal again this year. They will have two tribal employees operating ATVs to push the snow off of sidewalks and onto the street so that the borough crews can carry it to the snow dump areas. Many thanks to PIA for this continued assistance. Our fire hydrants are winterized. Any use of a hydrant will require us to re-winterize it. The call for the community Christmas tree nominations has been advertised. Citizens may nominate a tree and have it removed from their property for free. Call Public Works at 772-4430 to make a nomination. Again, that's for the tree that's chosen, not all trees. The local scrap metal and junk car roundup ended on October 31st with quite a bit of activity. From August 27th to October 31st, the department took in over 850,000 pounds of metal from the community. Republic Services is continuing to monitor the new Chinese national import policies and their effect on our recycling business. Petersburg will be able to continue with the current commingled recycling program for the time being. We have to stay aware of what's going on with the ongoing market pricing and may have to adjust our collection program to maintain value in the recycling stream. Something Carl's going to keep an eye on, and we'll just have to play it by ear as the prices come in and things change over there. The 350 genset project is about 80% complete. We are waiting on the electrical schematics from EPS before the initial startup. Power and light line crews are in the process of installing power pole barriers around some selected, kind of very vulnerable poles. These will protect those from being hit by cars or equipment and hopefully avoid power outages in those events. Some kitchen improvements at the assisted living will be taking place the week of November 27th through December 2nd. At that time, Mountain View Food Service will be closed. Shelin just received notification that there was a Medicaid glitch in the billing system from September 1st of 2013 through August 18th of 2017. This will require her going back through and identifying the cost of care allowances for all residents for all months involved. So it will take her some time to do this. Finance Department is preparing for some temporary staffing changes while one of our full-time staff members goes out on maternity leave beginning November 7th. Many borough facilities will be closed this Friday, November 10th for Veterans Day. Please call ahead if you need to come visit us. The recreational youth basketball teams will have their home all-star games on Saturday, November 18th. Everyone is welcome to come out and cheer on our 4th through 6th graders take on Wrangell's all-stars. Oktoberfest was on Saturday, 10-28 in the community gym. It all seemed to go very well. We had a large electrical load brought to light an issue with the electric capacity in our activity room. Jamie and Chandra will be figuring out a new method to deliver power to that room for future large events. Want to thanks to Alps Credit Union, the Trading Union, and Anchor Properties for their help putting on the pumpkin patch plunge, which went very well. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has begun work on the South Harbor Feasibility Study. Staff has worked with the hydrology team identifying the project location. And in November 2nd through the 4th, another team was in town using a ROV to survey the bottom of the South Harbor, graphing the dredge areas. Staff is providing the support needed for those visits. On the evening of October 29th, the Moonshadow had a fire breakout on board. Quick response by Harbor Officer Stacy Hort, Police Officer Jim Kerr, and Harbor Board Member Scott Newman allowed for minimal damage. Fire Department arrived in under 8 minutes and took over. A very large thank you to everybody that was involved. We continue to host fire station visits and tours by the public. Just as a heads up in general, we encourage community members to consider this for any of our facilities. You're more than welcome. Just give us a little bit of advance warning at times, and we can tour you through any of our facilities. The emergency trauma technician course started October 29th. We have 8 people in the course, 4 firefighters, and 4 new members. Hopefully they all do well, and we need the help. We did have a problem with the phone system at the fire station on October 30th. AP&T forwarded the calls to the police department, and phones were back in service on the morning of October 31st. I had received an email from AP&T, but have not had a chance to talk to Brent yet. I think they are recommending a full replacement of that phone system, and so we'll see. That's fairly expensive, and I kind of need to know the details, which I don't have at the moment. Increased bear activity starting to taper off, Kelly?
I haven't heard anything in the last couple days.
Okay. We were just continuing to warn people about, you know, securing their trash and keeping their eyes open. Chief Soyhart, Captain Hamilton, Sergeant Holmgren, Investigator Pop, Jay Beasley, and Ken Hamilton all participated in a trap shoot with the Devil's Thumb Shooters on the 30th of October. Really appreciated the invitation from Coach Larry O'Rear. I think everyone had a really great time at the shooting range. And special thanks to Angel Warhatch and Captain Hamilton, who prevented a suicide attempt in our jail the other day. The inmate was transported to Anchorage for treatment. Great work by Angel and John. And we're continuing to work with Department of Corrections to make emergency transports a little less complicated and more efficient. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Any questions, Bennett?
I actually had a question about PIA's assistance with the sidewalk contract, and as if that were part of a contract or if it was a pro bono, sort of a community service endeavor.
Good question. That PIA offers that service to the borough at no cost to the borough. So they pay their own employees. Those employees are being paid, but they're being paid through PIA.
Wow. Excellent. Yeah, last year was a little bit tough walking up and down Haugen, but in previous years it had been really nice.
And this is my annual clarification. Mm-hmm. This is on borough roads. Haugen is not a borough road.
That's
and
right,
so Haugen and South Nordic sidewalks will not be touched by this effort unless the state also gets PIA to help them, which has not happened yet.
Hmm. But might it?
What's that?
Might it? Is there something that we could say to PIA in order to be able to try to encourage them to work on the state road?
I think the willingness with PIA is there. It's the willingness on the part of DOT that is shaky. They require that if tribe is going to do work on their property, then they waive their tribal sovereignty, and that's a deal breaker generally.
That's understandable. Thank you.
Any other questions of the manager on his report? I had a question that seems like quite an endeavor that Sheelan's going to be going through. And until that's complete, we're not going to know if there's any financial impact, or is there going to be? Or
I don't think we're going to have any problems, but it's, you know, we have to go through the process to provide the information for them. And the cost of care allowances can be a nice add-on. So whether or not it means more money or less money, we won't know till it's actually finished. But it will take some time. Unfortunately, Medicaid, Medicare have been a bit difficult for a while. I mean, Sheelan spends a very large amount of time being an advocate for the residents up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point of attending hearings for them and, you know, helping explain what fees are based upon and why things should be approved. And this goes up to and including, you know, people that are on the verge of potentially being asked to leave, you know, to make sure they get Medicaid approved so they can continue to stay there. So I'm full confidence in Sheila, and she'll work her way through this. This is not uncommon to have stuff that we have to go back and do records. It's just a real pain to be at a long period of time like this.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Yeah. Any other questions of the manager? Okay, that moves us on to unfinished business, ordinances for third and final reading. It's ordinance 2017-14, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.08 of the Municipal Code entitled Assembly and Mayor, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. And like in the note, the action that, as you can see, it's highlighted in yellow. It is Section 3.08.080. C, that's where it's been added. That so I'll entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So move.
Is there a second? Yeah. Member or Strand made the motion and Member Verrill seconded it. Is there any discussion? Does everybody see what the change was? And it just mirrors what the code says, in fact, or the charter, and there's more to it than that about means where you can, you know, lose your seat on the assembly. And this is just one that any assembly member or the mayor who fails to attend 3 regular meetings of the assembly per calendar year without being excused by the assembly shall forfeit his office, his or her office. So we need a
Yes, a motion to amend to add that would be great, since right. It's something if, that was added in so by me and the attorney. If desired, yes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, any discussion? Seeing none, I asked for that to be put in there, and it's everybody on the assembly is pretty good about doing that, but I think we need to have something, you know, you need to either notify the clerk, who would be the best person to notify if you're not going to be present. Another thing that I don't know if I'm going to vote for this in this third reading, and I'm sure it'll probably pass, is I feel, and here we mirrored the charter in one respect by changing the wording under Section 16A2. No, that isn't, I'd have to find it again here where it is, a bad note. It's actually 3.08.130, parliamentarian shall be require instead of maybe require to mirror the charter. So we're going to change that, but we're not going to change this code to match the charter in other respects. So I kind of have a little problem with that. And I feel the clerk would actually be the best parliamentarian, and I believe that's what most boroughs and cities use, is their clerk as the parliamentarian. So I guess if those motions aren't made and those changed, I will not be in favor of this ordinance at the third and final reading. Any other, Jay?
Yeah, my bad, but I've got a point of clarification here. So the highlighted yellow part, that is not currently in there. We need to amend that to put that in there right now?
We need to make an amendment to the...
On 308, or 3.08.080, section C.
Correct.
That we need to amend to add that.
Right.
And speaking for myself, I don't have any problem adding that in there if it's already in code. I guess I would move to amend to add section C, the highlighted section in 3.08.080.
Is there a second?
Second.
Was that you, Nancy, in the mid?
Yes.
Second. Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Strand to add that wording under section C of 3.08.080. Is there any discussion? Clerk, call the roll on that amendment.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, that section has been amended. Is there any discussion on the rest of the ordinance as amended? Clerk, call the roll.
Hold on, Mr. Mayor. Let's get to the one that you're going to be in opposition of on that parliamentary practice on 3.08.310.
Well, we're changing this to match the charter.
So this has already been on the books before?
Well, it's in the charter, but it's not in this code. Is that correct, Debbie?
Well, in code, it says may appoint. So it's always been in code.
Right.
But the word was may. And when we were looking at charter and code and trying to figure out what we needed to update, it was just something that was noticed. And so may in code was changed to shall to match the charter. But it is completely up to you.
So this would be a first, so we're reinventing the wheel here by making a member now the parliamentarian instead of always asking you or the clerk.
Well, it's always been this way in charter.
Mm-hmm.
It's always said that you shall appoint one of your members to be your parliamentarian. Mm-hmm. And I believe that in the past that actually did happen, mm-hmm. but not since I have been involved at all, not that I remember. Mm-hmm. Probably at one point there was no one that felt they were qualified, and then from that point on, it just stayed that way.
So I have a follow-up question on that. Is there anyone on this board or in this assembly that feels as though they're qualified to be a parliamentarian, or is it something that we should change the word back to may and just continue as the way we've been going?
A question for you. How would one define a qualified parliamentarian, first of all? It seems a little bit...
Well, I mean, you know I hate... I, mean? I would.
I'd hope we've all read Robert's Rules.
Yes. I mean, I would hate to say it, but am I qualified? I mean, I do my best, but I don't know that thing inside and out.
That's my point.
So, in my opinion, it's common sense and doing mm-hmm. your best to stay within Robert's Rules per our charter and code, so...
So... Another point of clarification, Debbie, since that's been in the charter before the borough was formed, correct?
That I'm not sure of. It's okay. Definitely in the borough charter, okay. though.
So the 10 years that I've been on and off on this, we've never had an appointed parliamentarian, but whatever sure. the assembly feels.
It would almost seem to me that you're going to have more than one in case that person happens to be not available at the meeting, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Yep.
Is it something that's totally necessary that's going to...
So, Jay? Go ahead.
All right. You let me know if I mess this up, okay, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
So I would amend this to 3.08.130 to have it say may instead of shall.
I'll second that.
Okay, a motion's been made by... Was that a motion?
It was.
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Morrell to change the wording in 3.08.130 and take the word shall and turn it to may. I mean, it's just a little bookkeeping thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and if we're really going to do the total bookkeeping thing, the truth is we should put it before the voters at the next election to change the charter so that it matches.
I agree. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, there's probably, if your person really looks in depth at ordinances matching charter, you're probably going to find quite a bit of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. But anyway.
Which is what we're trying to go through
exactly.
as we're right. switching code over from city to borough.
Okay.
And his member, Gregor, had
Stan
mentioned earlier that.
Please.
Stan Gregor, sorry.
Stan Gregor. Right. Okay. Anyway, I mean, we all should be boned up on Robert's Rules of Order and try to be as accurate as possible. But
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's my final comment.
So, is there any other discussion on that amendment?
On that subject.
Yeah. Is there any more discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, that amendment passes unanimously. So, with those amendments being made, is there any discussion on the main motion to adopt this ordinance 2017-14 in its third and final reading? Any more discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, 2017-14 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. And that brings us to new business, item A, ordinance 2017-15, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2018 budget for known changes. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor, to adopt ordinance 2017-15 in its first reading. Any discussion? And this is just for the public. Ordinance 2017-15, if adopted, will spend down remaining reserve from the road special reserve fund to pay for the asphalt crushing project. This expense was approved by the Assembly in September. This will reduce the police department payroll expense due to the loss of airport security officer revenue from the state of Alaska, and therefore a reduction in a police officer position. Will add $39,500 to the Petersburg Municipal Power and Light budget for superintendent recruiting costs. This will increase budgeted funds to pay for Petersburg Municipal Power and Light 350 generator replacement that was budgeted for in the prior year but not paid for. We'll budget for the Rasmussen grant awarded to the library and the expense incurred for the Story totem pole. We'll budget from the economic fund the local cost sharing for development of the Scow Bay turnaround that was approved by the voters at the last election, and will add an additional $60,000 to the Petersburg Municipal Power and Light headquarters building remodel contingency fund, which Public Works Director Hagerman spoke to earlier. So is there any discussion?
A question for Chief Swihart. I was wondering if decreasing the size of the force by one police officer, if that will affect the services or response time.
I don't know if we have the answer to that yet. It certainly could. Here lately, we've been running on a shorter staffing model while we've got two folks in the academy up in Fairbanks. So we should have those guys back next week and really start to see how this is all going to shake out. On one hand, the load is a little bit lighter because we're not dealing with airport security every day. I mean, that was a few hours every day, a couple of times a day. So we're just going to have to wait and see how it shakes out.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution or ordinance 2017-15 passes unanimously in its first reading. Next item under new business is resolution 2017-20, a resolution approving a sole source purchase of all hazard warning sirens from Federal Signal Corporation. I'd entertain a motion to approve this sole source purchase.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Mucci, I believe. And any discussion or questions of Sandy?
Just want to point out that this is a Homeland Security grant, so this will not come out of the general fund.
Yep, that's good to
the listening public.
Member Mucci?
So where are these going to be at?
We have one of them slated to be at the ball field near the skating rink that Chandra agreed to. And we're going to try to use the same power pole, or the power and light pole that they're going to put lighting on. And then one in the Bayview Estates area. So hopefully it'll pick up the Scalby people.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
These are additional ones, correct?
Correct.
Darn, we don't get rid of that one by my house.
Okay, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, next item on the agenda is C-17-276. This is approval of travel to Washington, D.C. to meet with our federal delegates. I'd entertain a motion to approve that trip.
So move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made by Member Walhuter, seconded by Member Barole to approve a trip to Washington, D.C. Is there any discussion? There's a list of items that we came up with. The manager and I had a discussion with Brad Gilman, our federal lobbyist, last month. I can't remember what the date was, Steve, but he recommended that we come back and visit and talk on these topics. One that he brought a lot of attention to was the Coast Guard mooring station in Petersburg. It sounds like there's a lot of discussion or action being taking place back in D.C. about Coast Guard placement, and figured it'd be a good time to go back. So I just thought I'd have this put on the agenda and see where it went. And if this was approved, like in the past, the Assembly should discuss which items it wants to be discussed back there and at what level. Mm-hmm. So the person, if our person's going, he recommended the manager, the mayor, and at the most one other person. So
in my past of lobbying for certain fisheries issues, I realized that face-to-face with people that can make a difference where you're at shows that we're more than just putting our money, you know, we're putting our mouth where it needs to be. You know, we need to show up in person, and you get a lot of credibility, you know, by showing up at these places. So even though it is an added expense to this, but I think that money is going to be well spent if we go back there and show up in person to show that we are serious about these issues.
Any other discussion on this?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mucci.
I am going to be voting against this. You know, I didn't like the way the whole thing was put together, for starts. You know, you came in with a date that you could go, and we didn't really discuss who else might be able to go or dates that other people might be able to go. I think the list that we have, it's kind of random. I think if these are the discussion items that the Assembly wants to whoever's going back to Washington D.C. and meet with, there should be a work session and just kind of go over all these items and figure out what our position is going to be when we're talking about this, because I don't think anybody should be going back there representing the community without having a clear message to send to whoever we're talking to about all these items on that list. I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to add things to this list, or this is just something that the mayor and the lobbyists we have came up with.
I believe after the conversation that the manager and I had with Brad Gilman in D.C., there was an email sent out to all Assembly members and possibly department heads asking to add or subtract from this list. That was I can't remember the date, 2-3 weeks ago. So that was requested. But, I mean, there's other dates. This date that was thrown out between the 11th and the 14th of December was a date, one of the dates proposed by our lobbyist. After that date in December, we have to wait for Congress to set their calendar for the next year and then pick dates. So that, whatever, I just thought it was important. It's been 3-4 years since we've been back there. There's some issues that are important to the community, transboundary rivers, dredging of the harbors, and the Coast Guard station. The other ones, the Central Air Service, the lobbyist said that getting enough support in D.C. where that might not be an issue, might not even need to be on the list of topics, but secure rural schools and PILT, he felt important. So I'm just conveying my thoughts.
Yep.
All right.
We have a month.
Strand, we'll recognize, please.
I also think it's Brad's suggestion that we send the manager and one other in addition to the mayor. He's a good suggestion.
Yeah, he said at the most. He said it in the past. The whole entourage went back, and it gets kind of cumbersome in the offices. So, and you know, however we decide on this, pro or con, I mean, I just thought it was appropriate to bring it up at this meeting because he needs 2 weeks to set up the scheduling, or 4 weeks rather, to set up the scheduling to get appointments made. So, and at the next meeting, if the travel is approved, we could go over this again and fine-tune topics to be discussed and what should be covered under those topics. So that's how I plan to approach it if it gets passed. So any other
if I may, for those folks who haven't seen this before, Brad Gilman, the lobbyist in D.C., what they'll do is they'll actually do a position paper on, you know, these as well as kind of the standard list that's a lot more in depth just than just a two-word thing that's on the list in front of you. That is actually sent to the delegation in advance of any visit. And that outlines the assembly's position and what your kind of your issue is. We can try to get our hands on either the last one that was done or, you know, a current one that they're working on updating and get it out to you here. We'll talk to them tomorrow. The other piece is just kind of as a reminder, once you, whoever goes, the likelihood of actually being able to talk on this big long list is slim to none. It's, he says at best you'll get an opportunity to talk 2 to 3 issues with them, which is why they do the more expansive list that goes to the staff of each of the delegation. But when you actually visit with them, that's where the assembly comes in to say, okay, what are those 2 or 3 items that you really want to talk about? Because if you have more than 15 minutes, you're lucky. Anyway, I think I covered that.
That's how it worked the last time, the only time I've traveled there. Any other discussion? Member Stan Greger?
Thanks. I guess I'd echo a point you made, Mark and Kurt, as far as having a face-to-face is always better in terms of getting our point across and really stressing what our needs are. I think my reservations at this time are the December factor. You've got December in Washington, D.C. when it's not a busy time for Congress. We might not get our best bang for our buck if we're going to be going at this time right now. I like the idea of it on the whole, especially, and I would insist that you as the mayor, one other assembly member, and the city or borough manager go, because I think just a lot going on. You want more eyes and ears. Even in my own small world, when I traveled over to Wrangell to meet Cynthia Franklin, I was asked to go by myself, and it didn't make any sense, and I was glad to have Member Castro and Chief Swihart come along so that not one of us, even if we're trying to do our best to represent the borough, it's too much. I'd want more eyes and ears on that. But the gist is, that would be about, what, 10 grand or so for 3 people-ish?
Yeah, not cheap.
Yeah, not cheap. I'd be more inclined to wait and do this sometime in the spring or when Congress is back in session as opposed to before the Christmas holiday. So I won't be supporting it at present.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Eric?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, that trip to D.C. fails on a 5-2 vote. We'll address it at a future date. And Steve, will you contact the lobbyist and tell him we'll make another plan?
I'll also get that position paper. It doesn't hurt to have.
Right. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Okay, we have the next item under new business, D-17-277, Petersburg Housing Coalition's request for assistance. We need a motion to approve this because it's going to require borough involvement.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second for the sake of discussion.
Motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger to approve this request from the Petersburg Housing Coalition. They ask for assistance from the borough in gathering statistics. Hang on a minute to push the wrong buttons. Statistics and information regarding the growing problem of homelessness in our community. Assemblymember Mucci would like the Assembly to discuss this request, so he asked to have it on the agenda, and so that's why it's here today. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci?
I asked to have this put on because I kind of feel strongly that when people come up here and speak to the podium, and I've said it in the past that I don't want their letters or their requests or their questions to kind of seem like they fall on deaf ears. And so I just wanted to make sure that the Assembly had a chance to weigh in on this request and just decide if we want to direct city staff to look into it. It wasn't that I was strongly in favor of this, but I just wanted to make sure that when the public comes up and asks stuff or asks us to look into something, we at least talked about it at the Assembly level and figure out if we want to pursue it or if we don't want to pursue it. That's the only reason I asked to have it on.
Okay. Any other discussion? Member Castro?
Yeah, well, I appreciate Chelsea putting her effort into this project. And as she stated, you know, our weather's changing. It's turning much less favorable to be outside. You know, I would ask the department heads how this might affect their schedules and if putting together a list of notes for her would be a reasonable question to ask.
We're already tracking some of that for her, or trying to begin tracking some of that for her, and she and I have met at least once, maybe twice on it. So it is a project that we're wanting to help her out on to identify the population that needs the services and try to get them to them.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Member Mucci?
But this letter that she has turned into it is asking for more than that. She's asking to look into what facilities are available mm-hmm. and what services are available. And I'm not sure if she's talking about the churches and the service organizations that are around town, but I think it's more than that. I think she's looking for more information.
No, yeah, it's a two-part request. I'm sorry.
Member Greger?
Stanton Greger, but it's all right.
Stanton, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'll get it down.
Yeah. To your point, Member Mucci, it's definitely a two-part request, one of collecting information and then, like you said, identifying potential warming shelters for those living in the elements, including borough-owned facilities or potential private partnerships that could be developed. So, Manager Giesbrecht, what would that mean for you, put it simply, or your staff?
Well, gathering information's easy if we're just doing what falls in our lap. So, for example, you know, Glow, do you have any homeless people hanging out in the harbor? If you do, please let Chelsea know. Okay. I mean, meaning that's not a massive time issue. A little more for Kelly because his folks are dealing with it on a different level in some ways. The second part of that question, which is locations, you know, between the group in the back and you know, myself, we could probably come up with 30 different possible locations. I'm not saying that the community wants that done. I'm just saying, you know, the assembly chambers, the jail, I mean, you know, the community activity room. You can see what I'm saying. Churches in town. I can come up with a list pretty fast. But the time and the effort comes into is kind of vetting those with the community.
Yeah.
Meaning not every location is going to be something the community is going to be excited about. And so if you want us to do that, it's not just go find some locations, it's go find some locations and then what are the pros and cons, and you know, do people want us to have some folks sleeping in the community activity room at Parks and Rec?
Member Merle?
I actually went to one of the meetings, and there's a lot of stipulations to even house people, and so
I
think that it would be very, I don't know how much benefit we would have in providing anything that they can't figure out themselves, because I think you're going to have to look beyond any borough facility, because the stipulations behind it is, I mean, there's a lot.
Agreed.
And I know Anchorage tried this experiment.
Please be recognized by the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to keep an order.
Sorry.
Yeah, Kurt.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for correcting me here. I know Anchorage tried this by, you know, renovating an old hotel up there that was going to be, you know, not useful for anything other than trying to put homeless people in it. And then there was some stipulations. You know, you had to try to clean yourself up, no alcohol, blah, blah, blah. ACL jumped on that so fast it made your head spin. And now it's basically a crack house and a place where, you know, people can go get. So, you know, I mean, those are the issues that we could be dealing with here, you know. And that puts an undue burden on Kelly, or, you know, especially if we're going to use borough facilities. You know, I mean, how are we going to, who's going to monitor it? I mean, you can't just let them all just hang out in one room, you know, because you just don't know what's going to happen there. So I think there's a huge liability here. I realize it's a problem, but it's not an easy solution. So anyway.
Any other discussion? Member Mucci?
Mucci.
Yeah. Jeff?
Thank you. I'm not advocating one way or the other with this. I just wanted to make sure that we at least discussed it at the assembly level to kind of sort out if we want to do anything with it. If we don't want to do anything with it, fine. We've had the discussion. That's all I was interested in.
Okay, and I think we could keep a little better rapport among one another. Member Stanton Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, so bear with me. And I'm looking at the ask the borough manager to prepare a list of any and all potential warming shelters, et cetera, that one. That strikes me more as something that should be done in that grassroots efforts from perhaps the Homeless Coalition or the Petersburg Housing Coalition, and then bringing more specific ideas to us that we could either vet from there. In short, have them do the legwork on that and bring us a more actionable plan, be my 2 cents on the matter, instead of us doing the legwork and then bringing it to them, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Member Merle?
I agree. I don't see why they can't just personally ask somebody, either Glow or Chandra or whomever, at, you know, just to give them their 2 cents. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything that we pass or make them.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, I'll add my 2 cents. You know, this coalition started in June, and I haven't been to any of the meetings. I could state that right up front. I don't know what the membership is, how they're organized, but I agree with Member Stanton Greger that this coalition should put together more statistics to present to the assembly. One would be how many homeless people are there really in Petersburg, and bring us more information like that. I mean, I don't know if the Salvation Army and churches are providing any shelter for any of these people in need or not. I mean, if, I know it's an issue all over the country, so I don't think I'll be voting for this request just because it's going to, at this time, with it's kind of vague to me what they're really asking for. Member Strand?
As far as the number of homeless people, the coalition, I believe the coalition feels there's about 40, but the church group that supplies soup and bread on Saturday thinks there's 200. So somewhere between 40 and 200. And I think the coalition is just asking for input, for ideas, for warming. They've been working on these things. So fresh brains may have fresh ideas about warm places.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
I just had one more quick comment here. When we open up facilities that belong to the public or the borough, there's a certain amount of liability. And I would ask Steve if that's a correct statement. you know, and what would that kind of cost us?
There's definitely, through the mayor, it's definitely liability. I'm stereotyping, which is a horrible thing to do, but often folks who fall into this category have health issues or maybe addiction issues that create potential medical, you know, type situations that, you know, I mean, I threw out there just for effect, you know, we could offer up the assembly chambers, but, you know, I don't have a nurse or a doctor on hand here. And so I think there is liability. I think there's also issues with, you know, supervision in some cases, mm-hmm. None of which I'm trained to provide or do. So it would definitely be a pretty steep learning curve for us to get into that business. And that's, you know, and there'd be a cost to that. I mean, mm-hmm. whether it's going for training or bringing somebody else in, I mean, I don't know what those costs would be, but it would be something.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Steve. Any other member Strand?
I frankly believe that these warming stations should probably have access to more than one bathroom. Mm-hmm. So this particular room might not be a good idea because the whole building already uses the single bathroom, one each for men and women. But perhaps the armory, the National Guard armory would be. I have no idea how many bathrooms there are. But anyway, we need more than one bathroom per, especially if all 200 of them, which I figure are some couch servers, surfers, show up. There's the line will never get to the end. So,
okay, if there's no other discussion, we will have the clerk call the roll.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
No.
Eric?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Kurt?
Not without sympathy, no.
Brandy?
No.
Okay, the request is denied. I guess that's how you would respond, 7-0. Next item on the agenda is E-17-281, Petersburg Municipal Power Light Remodel Change Order Number 1. And we spoke this earlier, but I'd entertain a motion to approve this change order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Walhooter. Discussion? Member Stanton-Greger.
Question for you, Carl, if I could. You were talking about that, the 26590, as far as being some pretty basic stuff. And I don't think that was your wheelhouse at the time, but with all respect, if they were that basic, how come they got missed out of the get-go? Like, I'm going to vote and approve this. It sounds important, but it strikes me as odd that those basic things were overlooked out of the gates.
The only way I can answer that is it was a very bare-bones project. Previous Superintendent Nelson really cut back on any possibility of it being any kind of a grandiose project whatsoever. And that included, you know, leaving his office out of the project completely. So I that's your answer. I don't think, my opinion of that probably wasn't the best way to look at the project, but nonetheless, that's what happened.
Roger. Thank you, Carl.
Carl, when was the original building constructed? Well, give or take.
1923, or the superintendent says. So.
Okay.
A few years ago, Member Walhooter.
I believe when I was involved in the choosing of what the building design was back in the time, and I think this was just going to be a temporary fix for, you know, because long term was always to move everything out to Scow Bay. This is sounding more like that. This is probably going to have to be here for a while now because of state funding. So I think this is a small price to pay to bring it up for the next 30 years, so I'm going to vote in favor.
Okay, is there, Carl, and you mentioned earlier that this is the first change order. There's going to be more, but is that contingency money going to cover those other change orders, or are we going to be addressed again for future change orders? And this money is all coming out of the power and light reserves, I would assume.
Mr. Mayor, that's correct. The reserves are funding this increase in the budget and subsequently this change order. Future change orders that we know of, I believe, would be covered by the contingency that I'm requesting.
It sounded like that was how the discussion presentation went earlier. Thank you. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, that passes unanimously. Communications, I don't have any. Does anybody else have any communications they'd like to present? Okay, seeing none. Assembly discussion items, recognitions. Or are there any recognitions tonight by staff or members? Member Strand.
Once again, I'd like to recognize our volunteer fire department for their rapid response to the, and the harbor staff for their rapid response to the recent boat fire, which I was in Seattle for and still heard about it as it was happening. So, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Nancy. Any other recognitions? Member Mucci.
I just wanted to thank all the folks who are providing meals to the hungry people in Petersburg. Monday nights at the Narrows Inn at 5. Wednesdays, the Baptist Church is serving meals at 6. And on Saturdays, the Catholic Church is serving lunches at noon. All three programs are looking for people to help out, donations of food and funds to keep things growing. And I was there a couple of weeks ago, and there's quite a few hungry people in town. I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. Any other recognitions? Okay, seeing none, it'll move us on to the Tax Committee. And Assemblymember Mucci requested to discuss creation of a possible short-term tax committee to look at our sales and property tax structure, gather ideas from the community, and make recommendation to the Assembly. Jeff?
Yep. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Over the last month or so, I've had a chance to talk to several members of the community who had all kinds of questions about the senior citizens' property tax exemptions, the senior citizens' sales tax exemption, and our just overall sales tax, and what the trends are. And I was wondering if there's any assembly support to maybe putting out a public service announcement to maybe see if there were some community members who would like to sit on this short-term committee, maybe a six-month committee, to bring some recommendations to us about what they're seeing with the property tax exemptions we have in town, and maybe if they had some different ideas on sales taxes for the community. But the idea being eventually they'd bring some recommendations to us, and eventually they'd go on the ballot some if we had some support for that. So that's what that's there for.
Okay, any other assembly members have any input? Member Stanton Greger.
Manager Giesbeck, refresh my memory. Was it 3 or 4 years ago when we had the short-term tax committee? Four? Four-ish. Is that fair enough? Like four-ish? Yeah. Three, four?
It looks 2013. Like
Jody, has a
Jody,
two,
yes,
years.
Please.
2013.
Yeah.
And do you recall what came out of that, Jody? Ish.
Yeah, one of the things that went to the ballot was to remove the senior sales tax exemption for non-residents, and that was approved. And then a lot of other ballot questions regarding seniors was also on the ballot. None of them were approved.
No, the main... go ahead.
Nothing else, really.
No, if I recall correctly, Member Wolhuter had proposed that the sunset date part of that. That was one of those things that came out of there. And you were the first one out, I remember. And those all failed at the ballot as well. I think I'm okay with the, or I won't argue against the idea of having a sales tax committee. But what I recall is there was a lot of effort that really nothing came out of. If that's, I don't think I'm overstating that really, or at least not a lot of actionable items came out of that.
It was a lot of work for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good discussion. It's, you know, all about who you have on the committee as well, so.
Fair enough. Thank you, Jody.
Mr. Mayor. Kirk? I think this is a really good idea because under item I, we're going to start laying the groundwork. So I think that the general public can actually see where their tax dollars go, where our revenue's coming from. And they're also going to recognize that there is going to be a shortfall. And we're going to have to decide what this community is going to look like 2 or 3 years down the line. Because right now it looks pretty good, but we haven't felt the full effect. So I think this is a great time to start that discussion. I don't expect anything to really come out of it this year. I don't think we should, you know, I mean, I think we should take as much time as it's going to take, you know, to be able to get it in everybody's mind, you know, just exactly what it is that we want this community to look like with all the information in front of them. So I think this is a good idea.
Since we're having this discussion on a tax committee, what was, Jody, didn't you have a, you sent us an email that Dave and Nancy Berg wanted to be on some kind of a committee? Was that something different?
Jeff, you know, Jeff can probably elaborate on that. He was at the meeting, the chamber meeting, with Jeff and Nancy Berg. They did come to visit me and said that they'd be willing to volunteer to be on the committee. And I forwarded that information on to the assembly. And then Jeff said that he had been at that meeting.
So, Jeff, is this kind of where this discussion is coming from?
Yeah, there's been business owners in town who've approached me with the same idea. They just want to know where we're headed with this, if there should be some changes to some of these tax exemptions, if there should be some, just looking at the parameters of it to see if they need to be either tightened up or what. Mm-hmm. But there's enough grumbling that I hear from public business owners and members of the public who would like to see some kind of...
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'd be willing to be on a committee.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So, you know, I could see where some of this, we've got, this is item B, we've got other issues to talk about, marine passenger fee, cruise ship fee. I wonder if we could kind of group that into the same type of a thing. So anyway, any other discussion under the item B, under assembly discussion of tax committee? And if an assembly member wants to get it put on the agenda as an action item, I suppose we could go there and then ask for letters of interest for people to serve on such a committee. Next item is marine passenger fee. And Jeff, would you like to talk to this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Actually, item C and D are kind of in the same heading. When I first got elected here just a couple weeks ago, whenever I was asking about the drive-down dock, and I was trying to figure out where the funding came for the drive-down dock, and I was told that $3 million of it was provided from the head tax out of Juneau, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
State head tax for all the tourism, yes.
And I asked if we do have a head tax here, and we don't. And I hear every so often, I'll hear people over in Kupanoff complaining that they're bringing boatloads of people over up and down the trails. And I wondered if there's any support for, like, a marine passenger fee for cruise ships coming into Petersburg.
Glow, have you had any discussions at this at the Harbor Board level, or...?
Not recently. We haven't really had any discussion. I don't know. It would have to come from you to tell us to have, I guess, that discussion. And there'd probably be a whole list of conversation topics that would go along with that.
Okay. Jeff.
So what I was thinking is when I was looking at this PIA, has a map in their plan of the trails that they're going to, or what they've listed as the trails around the borough. And it goes from, it's our entire borough, the geography of our borough. And there's a way to track cruise ships that come into the Petersburg borough who actually go visit places that aren't in downtown Petersburg. They might be going over to Cascade Creek, or they might be going to see over to Thomas Bay, whatever. And pretty much most of the communities in Southeast have a cruise ship head tax for people coming into town. And Dave's probably long in the play at the play, but you know, some of the numbers you're getting from some of the these cruise ship passengers who are coming to town, they're paying like $5,000 to $6,000 for a cruise where they stop in Petersburg. And I'm just trying to find out if there's any support for maybe looking into a head tax. It appears with an informal discussion with the city attorney that I didn't have, but it's something that does not have to go on the ballot. It's something that we can do on our own. It doesn't have to go to a vote of the public. I imagine there'll be some pushback from some people, but in a time when revenues are tight, and this might be an opportunity to kind of see some new revenue coming to town. It's not a lot of money, but it all depends on how much we want to, what fee we'd like to charge.
Member Walter.
You know, for expedience here, I think we could probably lump C and D together when it comes to that tax committee. I think that's something that should be brought to the public and let them weigh in on it. And that might be a discussion item at some of these meetings. So, you know, instead of us having to make that decision, you know, by putting it on, by voting up or down, let's get all the cards on the table and just see what Main Street thinks about this. Let's see what the cruise ships think about this, because if we're gonna hinder, you know, a company to hold back on coming into our borough or into our city, you know, that could be lost revenue for Main Street. So it may just be a moot point here. So anyway, I think those are things that need to be considered, you know, in a public setting. So I would like to pass this on to the tax committee if this is a direction that we want to go in.
Eric, and then Nancy.
Yes. Yeah, so looking at some of the attachments that are provided here, it looks like the 2017 Petersburg Tour Ship Review. So for 2017 port landings, for example, let's just say the American Spirit, they have $500 a landing, and for 38 landings total for the American Spirit, Chichagov Dream, and the Quest equals $19,000. However, if we were to, say, implement a $5 head tax just on the American Spirit, 10 stops with 100 passengers max capacity is up to $50,000. So there is a potential for some real serious revenue, and at really minor cost to somebody who's already dropping $59,000 to $10,000 for that trip.
Point of clarification. I'm sorry. Maybe my math is a little short here, but if there was 10 stops with 100 passengers, that's a 1,000 people at $5 a head. I thought that might be closer to $5,000.
Nope.
So, sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call you out on that, but the way my mind works with numbers is I can't describe it.
Well, that's you know, and for I think it's going to take a ad hoc committee with, you know, maybe don't put a date on it when it's done, but give the committee some directions. This is what we'd like you to look into, you know. So I don't think it's a unreasonable idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like the idea.
So where are we? Did we lump C and D together?
Well, and as long as we're lumping, we might as well throw in the travel policies of
Petersburg, Ketchikan,
and Wrangell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that is item E. And again, Member Mucci requests discussion of the Assembly travel policy and procedure. So, Jeff, you have the floor.
Sure. You know, just back to this item C and D. Are those items we want to refer to the Harbor Board to look into? Or was this something that we'd want the sales tax committee to look into? It would be one of the things we put on the agenda for the sales tax committee. Is that what we're thinking?
This is just a discussion thing, so we're kind of formulating a game plan, in my opinion, so I don't know.
Sure.
Kurt?
My opinion was I think we let this go to the tax committee first, let them vet it out, and then if it needs to go on to the Harbor Board, you know, for to make sure that we have all the holes covered, then I think that's what we should do. But I think right now, let's just see what the tax committee thinks, you know, and then we can move them on to the different. So I think it's a great idea, Jeff. I just think that we I just think we should just let the tax committee determine whether or not this is something that's actually going to be economically viable for us before we pass it on to other committees.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Mayor, is the goal then to form or put out a notice at the next meeting or the first one in December that we are looking to put together a tax committee to look at several items?
Is that that seems like a logical approach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that, Eric?
However, would we want to burden the tax committee with things other than taxation? If the marine fees could be levied just by a vote, would that be something that we would want the tax committee to have to involve themselves in, being that there's plenty of other taxable?
Kurt?
My opinion is yes, because then I don't have to go out and vet whether or not this is economically a sound direction for us, this community to go into. I think it's up to the community, up to Main Street, up to those people that would be affected. And if it is something that we can do, I don't believe the harbor is going to benefit one iota from it because they're not going to get the money. So.
Yeah. So at this point, we've decided through our discussion that we would like to advertise for a tax committee at this point. Is that kind of the consensus? So Debbie, can you?
Sounds great.
Right.
Maybe we could put that on the mayor's report or something at the next, or advertise it, put it on the borough website, whatever. I don't know how many people use that. And so are we on to C&D still, or have we gone past that? I think if there should be some information provided on what there would have to be before we made any kind of a decision to vote on that, how other communities, and you've looked at it, have moved forward with this, and I'm sure there would be pushback by from maybe, I don't know, just,
also
people that run the businesses.
A great thing for PEDC to be a part of as well.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've started the discussion. Okay, can we move on?
Sure.
Item E, Assembly Travel Policy and Procedure. Mr. Member Mucci requests discussion of the Assembly Travel Policy and Procedure. So I see you've supplied a couple of other communities, Ketchikan and Wrangell's as well. And Ketchikan looks pretty involved, and Wrangell's looks just like a little one-page spreadsheet that they do annually.
Yep.
So, Jeff?
Mr. Mayor? Yeah, I was just trying to get a little bit better handle on how we were going to make our decisions, where we're going, who's going, and which ones we've decided to go to. I think the discussion we had tonight about the Washington, D.C. trip was helpful. I just want to make sure I fully understand the parameters of if we travel, how we're deciding where we're going to go and what we're going to do and how it's going to be funded. I didn't know if there was any support to either tighten it up or look at our travel policy, or if everybody was comfortable with our travel policy. You see, you have Appendix F there that talks about the borough business and how we, and I didn't know if there's any, anybody had any questions, or we're all comfortable with the way it is. I'll just leave it alone. But
I
just,
well, I think if we're going to go any farther than just a discussion, it has to be put on the agenda as an action item, and then
sure,
decide if we're going to change, modify, or what we're going to do. Yep. Right now, I believe, isn't there a assembly travel fund or expense fund for things, Debbie?
Yes, there is a travel and training budget for the assembly, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, and like I mentioned in the last meeting when we touched on this topic a little bit, it was when Al Dwyer was our mayor. We had a discussion at a meeting where people wanted to go to AML. It was newly elected officials, and the discussion came up where, well, I don't think that many people should go, so the assembly voted on it, and, you know, it wasn't an ordinance or a resolution or anything, but we voted on it, and travel outside the state, you had to get permission.
Sure.
Travel within the state if you want to go to AML, and I think people are pretty conscientious about, just wasting money. If if we want to have that on as an action item, then a member could bring that forward.
Yep, that's good.
Any other discussion? Okay, Papke's Landing boat ramp and dock. Jeff also asked to have this as a discussion item. So, Jeff, your thoughts?
Mr. Mayor, can I just get an update on where we are with the Papke's dock and the ramp and service area 2, and just
Can I give him
on here for a month or so?
You could give him the same story I've got, Steve. The Assembly actually took formal action and turned the state's offer down.
Yep.
You know, and then we just said the discussion was, well, we just don't want entrance island at all.
Yep.
Just Kuprinoff and Pappy's, and we'd like to turn Kuprinoff over to Kuprinoff, and we did that by the vote of the public. Now they can, if the state will give it to them, and they may not. So, but in our discussion, I can't remember what the numbers were. Was it 700,000 or 1.2 million? And it went down if we didn't take, Steve might know the numbers better, but formally we just didn't accept the state's offer and they took it off the table.
Okay.
So they own them.
Mr. Mayor. And so in part of that, I don't understand, that's why I'm asking, but part of that, the ramp is part of DOT. And the dock is part of Ports and Harbors?
Through the mayor?
Go ahead.
Okay. The dock is actually owned by DOT. The water underneath it is DNR. Yeah. The ramp is DNR. And the parking lot is DNR. A little farther uplands is mental health, but I think they've mostly pulled out of there. The borough owns three lots that the borough purchased from mental health for the purpose of eventually expanding the parking lot, if that was something that the borough assembly wanted to do. The process, at no point was the state ever come to the borough with a unified proposal. It was take the docks, but, you know, DOT was doing that, and they were not saying, we've got this worked out for you for DNR. The reason that's an issue is because DNR leases the water to DOT. Now it's a $0 amount. So, you know, between two state agencies, they're not charging each other, but there's no guarantee they wouldn't do that to us. So, for example, if the borough assembly took the dock, if DOT offered it and the assembly said, sure, we'll take it, if you don't get that piece of it worked out, you might also start getting a bill for a lease payment for the water underneath the dock and or the ramp in the parking lot. So, we could never get DOT to offer up a, you know, composite solution. My guess is, from what we heard, they just don't work together like that. So if the assembly wanted to talk about PAPKIs, you're talking about maybe two different things happening at the same time, which is starting to negotiate with DNR on what they would either charge or turn over as far as the water, the ramp, the parking lot, and DOT from the dock perspective. At no point has the assembly weighed in yet on what it would cost. In other words, where the money would come from to maintain PAPKIs or fix PAPKIs. Did I get that right, Glo?
Yeah, and I just comment a little bit on the DNR exchange of hand. The last time we went through DNR to get land, which was out at Scow Bay, took us 20 years to the month to get that transferred. So it is quite a process to get through that part of it.
So another
question, Mr. Mayor. So if we were to take over the dock and the ramp and the waters underneath it, would it be feasible to have a service area out there where the people who live out in service area 2, if there was a tax on service area 2, it would pay for that stuff?
To the mayor, any number of ways to pay for that if the assembly and the voters wanted to go that route. Could be formation of a service area. It could be you could raise mortgage rates. I mean, there's no real limits on how to do that. It's really entirely up to the assembly and or in some cases the voters. Forming a service area takes the voters to vote. You know, you could, I don't know, you can raise sales tax rates if you wanted to. Again, back to the voters. So there's no real limits on how it could be paid for. Service area is one option. I mean, you can fill in the blank.
Kurt?
But I agree with you, Steve. We have to get an assurance from DNR and DOT that we would own it out lock, stock, and barrel. And like you say, 20 years to try to get those two people together I mean, it's not like we have dropped the ball here. We've been pushing forward and leaning on this project, but we just keep getting no response from DNR and DOT to work together in a satisfactory method, in a timely manner. And so, you know, those are good questions to ask so that the public still knows that we haven't dropped the ball on this, but it's kind of out of our hands at this point, you know, waiting for that consolidation.
Yeah. Through the mayor.
That's good.
Okay. Just to be clear, we have not approached DNR about this issue. I mean, in other words, we have not written a letter. The assembly has not authorized me to write a letter to DNR and saying, hey, we're interested in taking on that property. So we're just basing that on our past history at Scow Bay. We asked DOT that question. We said, DOT, could you come to us with a combined solution? And DOT basically said, nah, we don't work that way. But we've never directly approached DNR. I just want to be open about that.
Yeah, Jay, you got a comment?
Just something further consideration for Member Mucci of having a service area pay for something like that. We got into this discussion in the past of that'd be predicated on the fact that only one service area was using the facility. And so it opens up a broader conversation of, which is for a different time, of course, regarding who is paying for it and use study, et cetera. Look forward to discussing that one more because I think there's a lot to that one. That's all.
More convoluted than one thinks, I think.
Right.
Okay. That brings us to public tours of public facilities, and I believe there was something earlier on the agenda about that tour of the fire hall, but Member Mucci requests a discussion regarding public tours of borough facilities. Jeff?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. My wanderings around town, I've talked to a few people about the city departments and what they consist of and where they are, and I always hit water and wastewater, and I keep telling people nobody really cares where the water comes or where it goes once you flush the toilet, but there's quite a few people in town who are interested in seeing where the water treatment plant and the wastewater plant are, and I would bet if there was a public service announcement that there was a tour to a certain facility, I don't know if you wanted to do it once a month or whatever, but they could meet up at Public Works and you could throw them in a van and take them to see where all that stuff goes and where it comes from. It's just people are interested in that kind of stuff, and I just take it for granted.
What is there a policy, Steve or Carl, that if someone public, you know, wants to come and look at the public works, you know, or light and power or sanitation, they can do so?
Well, I don't know that we have a policy, Mr. Mayor, but. Our doors are open. You know, we're willing to provide a tour for whoever wants one. And, you know, but making it formalized monthly might be a little bit much, but putting the word out that if people are interested in having a tour of the treatment facilities, just to let us know, we'd be happy to show them around.
Cool.
Any other discussion on tours? Okay, that brings us back to incentives to fire EMS, search and rescue volunteers. And Member Mucci, you've requested this discussion. So, Jeff?
Yeah, I put this on the agenda before I went and had dinner with the fire department last Thursday. And there's still some discussion at the volunteer level about what their ideas are for ideas to get encourage more people to join the fire EMS and SARS. So while some people were in favor of maybe a tax exemption on groceries, some people were talking about possibly a stipend for calls they go out. They have a whole bunch of ideas that they're going to be starting discussion on. So there's really not much to discuss here, but I just wanted to bring it up that I have been talking to them and they're going to discuss it further and get it back to us.
Okay, and what is the policy now? Isn't there some, they get a meal a month, or Dave could probably answer that, or since you showed up, did you come to talk to this, Dave?
Not to this, no, not necessarily. David Berg, I'm...
I know why you're here. Now.
Fire 2, assistant chief. The volunteers, the borough provides a monthly meal before our monthly meeting to the fire hall. Sometimes we go to a local restaurant. Other times we buy food, and one of the volunteers or a team cooks it. And that's this, you know, pretty much once a year, or excuse me, once a month. And in addition, volunteers get you know, types of things for public health. They help us with flu shots, for instance, in the fall. Admission to a pass to the facility up there.
The pool and
Parks and Rec. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. Andy's here.
I have one. The voters approve that the volunteers receive a $10,000 property tax exemption.
That's right.
So each year, everyone that qualifies gets a $10,000 exemption on their assessment, which is equivalent to only $100 or so, give or
take. That only applies to volunteers that own property. It doesn't help the volunteers who rent. Or live in another
right,
another
and it's
place.
Not just property; it has to be your primary residence.
Right. So. Yeah, primary residence. Yeah. And other than that, then the officers get a small stipend.
So, Member Mucci, there, to your knowledge, the fire department, EMS, and search and rescue are coming up with some ideas. They're going to present to the assembly. Okay, good. Anybody else have any comments on this discussion?
Yes, sir. I asked Dave to come and maybe answer any questions we had about the marine head tax, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk to him tonight about it or ask any questions about it tonight. But
he's going to be the chairman of the committee. So.
Tax committee.
Dave, do you have a few thoughts that you could maybe quickly?
Certainly. Dave Berg, owner of Viking Travel, along with my wife, Nancy. We participate in the reception of cruise ship passengers here in the city in the summertime and are generally involved with, you know, things from being an agent for the ship, helping passengers and crew, you know, with shopping and doing tours, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, we like, you know, Petersburg, I think, provides a good visitor experience for people that come here. And I think it's important, you know, that the city also get, you know, the bang for their buck, you know, and are similarly, say, priced or if you will, to other experiences that people have when they come to Southeast Alaska. So I think that if we're looking at, you know, cruise ships plying the waters of our borough or coming in town, which are basically two different things, that there should be, you know, some benefit to the city for that. Because Petersburg, you know, we all kind of think of this as our home, obviously, and it's quite the little jewel. You know, we've got some beautiful scenery around here. We're off the beaten path of large cruise ships. I've said that for years, and I think that's a you know that's something worth looking at when it comes to hosting ships in our borough. Another thing I think that's real important is that we try to work with them as best as we can. We've got a great facility with the drive down dock and other docks in the harbors, so. If we can use those facilities to make Petersburg work for these ships that come into town and make it easy for them to do business here and to bring their guests here, I think that's that'll go a long ways to making friends with them, especially if you know we're talking about you know charging them a little bit more for you know for using the borough.
Kurt.
I know that the tourist industry has lobbyists. Has this been something you've bounced off of them because Petersburg is not now participating in a head tax? And would they encourage, you know, us to look into that for like at $5 a head or something? And,
the lobbyists?
Yes.
I've not looked into that myself.
Okay. No. Well, I know Juneau, when they decided to do a head tax there, that was a huge uproar on the tour ships and threats and threats, but you know, nothing ever came of it. A million people came to town, you know. So,
well, Peter, but Alaska as a whole is there's a lot of ships here that come in the summertime. If you've been to Juneau and Ketchikan, sometimes there's, you know, five ships a day there. And you know, having a little extra fee, it seems like they pass it along to their guests, you know, and, you know, port taxes and other fees that you know, that it costs people to come to Alaska. There seems to be a real basically not enough berths around for the ships that come and visit Alaska in the communities where they come to. So they look for places that are out of the way, like Petersburg, for instance. You know, unfortunately, we, you know, don't have large ships that come here. You know, our location at the end of Frederick Sound, you know, at the north end of Wrangell Narrows, ships, you know, of any size can't come here. And they don't want to come here. Like the World, for instance, it couldn't come here last year, this last summer. They couldn't make it through the Narrows. They had to go around, and they had an unfortunate incident with one of the pilots on board, so they had to cancel Petersburg. Well, other ships, other large ships, would have to do the same thing in coming to Petersburg, you know, all the way down Frederick Sound and then back around again, around the outside, to get to Ketchikan. So we're not going to see large ships come here, but the small ships will. And again, it's, you know, looking at the jewel that we live in, I think it's, you know, it's probably worth it.
Any questions of Dave? Thank you, Dave. Any other discussion on that? Okay, then we'll, Kurt, you had a...
Just item I, real quick.
Well, that'd be...
There's some, that'd be unique for me.
Yeah, this is longer than the regular agenda, let's go ahead.
No, I just want to let the public to be aware that, you know, we've heard their request for transparency. And so I decided that maybe what we need to do is put out there where they're, how the taxes are generated and where they go. And so just quite simply, they can go to the borough website and look up, you know, in a very simple form, two pages, one expenditures, one revenue. They can see where the money's coming from and where it goes. And then we'll start having this discussion sometimes when the tax committee forms. So.
Okay, any discussion on that topic? I believe those are in your annual
budget
every year, right, Jody?
Yes.
Yeah, so just have to...
Which is also on the main page of the borough website, if anyone would like to take a look at it.
So it's there. So, but to maybe let people know that it is there.
I asked Jody to simplify it so I could understand it, which pretty much qualifies everybody not to understand it. So.
Okay, is there any other assembly members that want to discuss anything?
Mr. Mayor, I'll be absent from the next meeting, but I'll try and attend telephonically.
Perfect. Debbie, do you make a note of that, please?
Yes.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We're done.